Shop Woodhouse Mazda first and experience the Woodhouse difference. At Woodhouse Mazda, we make car buying simple. From the Mazda CX-9 to the Mazda 3, we are sure to have something that fits your needs. Visit one of our two convenient locations in Omaha to shop our showroom or take a test drive.
We have a conversation with last hour. This is from Thomas. He says, my definition of success is never feeling like we have no chance in any particular game. Growing up in the 80s, you knew we had a chance to win every game. We took the field. Shout out to our neighbors, the Beanery. They have Mariano Rivera'd my coffee intake this morning. They heard my discussion about the bad mistake I made. And I frequent the Beanery. It's just they're not in my neighborhood when I'm driving into work. So thank you. Thank you. They have saved the day. Yes. All right. Here to save the day. Can you name the cartoon?
Nope.
Underdog.
Oh, yeah.
Underdog.
Yes, yes. See, you know about Underdog.
Now absolutely, man. Him and Hong Kong Phooey, Captain Caveman. Those are my dudes. Those are my Saturday morning dudes right
Oh, all right. Well, I thought we were going to come on and we're going to talk about, you know, normal things we talk about, but let's talk about Underdog, shall we?
Yeah, and Droopy. I love Droopy, too.
Oh, man. Now
I'm telling you.
Now you've gone down a rabbit hole. Here, I don't know that we're going to get out of. I mean, that was my 7:30 before I had to be to school to walk with the neighbor kids to school at 8. Underdog came on at 7:30. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Saturday morning cartoons, typically everything kind of shifted at a certain, I can't remember what part of my life I was in, but when I could catch Underdog, Hong Kong Phooey, Captain Caveman, Droopy, that group of characters right there, that was really like where I was like kind of just living in Saturday morning cartoons. Otherwise, and I was a big Fat Albert fan too. Like I loved Fat Albert. That was awesome.
In your world, what star would you give to Underdog? Would he be a 5-star? No doubt.
He's a high 4, low 5, Rivals rated 5.9, maybe possibly 6 guy. That's a very true statement right there, my friend. That's an underrated, not too well known. He's a sneaky guy, but you got to get eyeball that one a little bit. Underdog is going to be a fast riser on the board.
Hey, I've been posing this question. We all are doing this leading up to kickoff tomorrow in Columbus. What in your opinion is a successful season?
Improvement. And that's such a generic line. I'll get into it a little bit. You know, you want to see some things out of the quarterback play that was not there last year. I think you want to see in development. I think Mills is set up this year to have a very good year. And I think that kind of starts with him and where he was at last season, improving on that and the offensive line, you know, taking a step forward. But I think you also want to see depth building at the running back position, whether it's Tompkins or Scott or Morrison or, you know, whomever else is back there. I think you want to see improvement there with the depth. But I think McCaffrey adds that kind of flavored quarterback that's going to keep Martinez on his toes, keeps everybody, you know, basically responsible for preparing and doing what they need to do. I think the line is going to take a step forward. It seems like they're actually building some depth. You have some extra guys there like Ethan Piper, you know, and Hickson that can kind of do some things for you a little bit that you weren't able to do before. And I think that wide receiver, with the group they're rolling out, I think this weekend, you know, if you can continue to improve and get past some injuries and have guys like Brown and Fleming add to this core, and then you get Omar Manning, you know, to kind of start becoming that guy that we all think that he can become, and you add that to the group, and I think there's a really nice tight end group, and then I think defensive line, you finally start getting to where you got 5-6 guys you can rotate with. Linebacker is still going to be kind of still something to kind of keep an eye on, and secondary, I think that there's probably not, it's probably not going to be necessarily the rotation and the guys that they wanted to have. I think there's some guys that have left that probably might have figured into the equation, but I think all in all, and the kicking game should be improved. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, even without Cerny, you're gonna have some improvement. I don't think it can get a whole lot worse than what it was last year. So improvement, and then those are my finer detail points.
So part of, as we look at, okay, who's starting and who may play, I'm very excited on the offensive side of the football. Of course, Ronald Tompkins. Ronald Tompkins is a fantastic story. And how can you not root for the guy? Then there's also, I'm very intrigued by Marcus Fleming. Now, I think the wide receiver rotation tomorrow could be just be a hodgepodge. It's a different, there's a bunch of different parts that are going to play a wide receiver. But I'm excited to see Tompkins and Fleming. Now, they're part of the last couple of recruiting classes where Nebraska has kind of, they've been able to vet guys better. Let's focus on the 2019 class that you and I have talked about a lot. But it even hits home more when you look at the prospects for this season and where guys are showing up on the depth chart. Is it an understatement or maybe just factual to say the success of this program in making that next step is fully based on the 2019 class?
I would say that that is a factual statement. I would even go as far as to say I would maybe just amend it to say 2019 and 2020.
Okay.
I think that these last two groups of players that have been added to the roster are to, like what you said, a more fully vetted group of players. They seem to kind of I think that there was such a rush to kind of get things flipped and flip them so aggressively that you kind of get within the madness and the process and you swirl and you lose sight of where you really are because everything is in motion. I think that they found the point to shoot their azimuth off of in 2019 class. And they really understood from that point what really needed to happen and what those guys look like and how they needed to go ahead and build this football team. And I think that there was really that part there in the 2019 class where you start to see a different looking group of players joining the team. I think 2020 was another build on top of that. I think 2021 has got a lot of those similar looking guys in it. And I think that really 2021, when you know, like I said, that it's going to be kind of a storyline with I think throughout the entire year to see what's going on at linebacker. I think linebacker finally starts getting shored up in 2021. I think that they're overhauling that position is how I would kind of say it, from particularly from the inside out.
You know, we grew up in a different era of Nebraska football and have watched it evolve and really the whole college game and how it has an impact on development and how long it takes guys to get on the field. And in particular, I'm talking about offensive line. You know, the old adage was throw them in the weight room and bring them out in 3 years and they've got a couple years to play and they're going to be great. Well, that's not the case anymore. And now we're seeing it more at offensive line. I was just saying before I brought you on, Brian, listen to Greg Austin last night. And he's in a good spot right now. He's got the Nebraska football has depth on the offensive line, something that they haven't been able to talk about for maybe a decade. But there are two names that he mentioned last night that I want your opinion on. What does that say about the offensive line recruiting and the development that he is saying we're going to see Turner Corcoran at some point this year? And then he went with a guy that kind of people forgot about in the class last year, Alex Kahn, who's from Kansas, who checked in out of high school at 6'6", 275. When you hear two guys out of the 2020 class that could get on the field at offensive line in a deep offensive line group, what does that say about that position as a whole, recruiting development moving forward?
I think what makes it even more special wasn't Corcoran and Kahn the only two guys they took on offensive line last year?
Yes.
I think that when you have two bullseyes like that, where it seems like you could go back and look over the past decade or so of wide receiver recruits and you kind of shake your head. And I think you could probably have done that for the last 10 to 15 years with offensive line. But then when you start getting into 2019 and you start talking about Ben Hart, and you start talking about Corcoran, you start talking about Connor and the roles that they're going to play, and you start looking at this group that they've got committed right now for 2021, I think that they're on the right track. I still would like them to see, like, have them go out and find, like, that really true elite center kind of guy. I know that, obviously, Cam is playing there now, and I think the sky is, you know, the stars are the limit for that kid, don't get me wrong. But I think he really still need to go find, like, that guy that really can go out there and play that center position. I can't recall another guy that was recruited to play center, you know, before like Jacob Hickman. You know, like that's like the one name I go back to and say that was the guy that was really pegged from the get-go to go play center. But I think when you start talking about the hits, particularly when you're batting 1,000 out of a class, even though it's two guys, it means the world, because you can't have five guys and all this potential and maybe some things, some guys are kind of getting, they're lost in it and whatever. When you're getting hits, like two big ones like Conn and Corcoran apparently seem to be, it's enormous, because you've already got Ben Hart there, you got Teddy coming, and Henry and Yager, all those guys are still coming.
Let's now look at the two teams playing tomorrow. You know what Ohio State does with recruiting. I think the Fox graphic has been shared by everybody about five stars, four stars. You know, Nebraska has a nice abundance of four stars. They don't have any five stars walking around like Ohio State does. How does a school like Nebraska, or really anybody in the West, how do you get closer to that gap when it comes to recruiting against Ohio State, or can you with the way they recruit?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because, I mean, number one, they have a populace to kind of grab from that Nebraska doesn't have, that's in state. That's number one. Number two, they have a poll where they can kind of get out, like they got their two five-star receivers last year. One was from Texas, we know him very well, and the other one was from Pennsylvania. So they seem to have an ability to reach into the other states and pull skill position guys out of, you know, that with relative ease. So I think what you really need to have happen, obviously, is that there seems to be more of a polished product that's coming off of the board that's committing and signing with schools like Ohio State that Nebraska is not getting. But what you need to have happen is you need to have the guys that you believe are higher potential players than what the rivals, than what the rating services say that they are, and that you need to make sure that they are motivated, love the game of football, and that you're going to get the most out of them once they get to college. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way that you can kind of combat this thing. You have to keep developing those guys and put them on a trajectory, basically, to where they're going to get to that point. It's like what Zach Duvall said to us when we were on our unofficial visit. You know, the guys that are on the team, they're there. They're already on. They've already got a role that they're playing on the team. But then he said the recruiting, you know, is basically to go out there to replace the guys that were already on the team, or at least to provide competition to them. And that there in itself should be the prime motivating factor for anybody that's already there on the team to want to go ahead and need to step it up. Realize that those guys, that you could be replaced at any one moment when a five-star says, I do, to Nebraska, and decides to go ahead and sign with them. But that's what I think needs to happen. You need to find the higher potential guys, the ones that maybe not necessarily are underachieving, but maybe the ones that are being overlooked, the guys that just need a little bit more improvement in the single area, and that you can get it out of them, and you feel like you can get it out of them, and you give them the right tools to do it.
Why doesn't it seem like, and everybody does, the Ohio States, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the Nebraskas, they have misses on recruits that are highly thought of in their class, that are up near the top of their big board. But why does it seem like Ohio State doesn't miss? Or do they have, they're able to miss and it doesn't affect them as much as a school like Nebraska?
Right. It's not as noticeable in their classes, because I think that you have that higher number of hits. You have basically a higher quality of average stars per class when you start looking across the board. And Nebraska's done very, very well in that regard. When you start talking about the 3.8, 3.9s, you're getting to a 4.0. That's a great class. But when you've got Ohio State and they're batting 410, 420, and you're going, holy cow, like they're just not getting anything less than a four-star. And if they're gobbling up a three-star, it's a high three-star because he's a local kid and he was, you know, he's gonna spit blood trying to get to Columbus. So they're definitely finding those right players that love the game, that not only have this really high end of them right now, but there's still this untapped potential, and they're not really still even like scratching the surface on everything it is that they can become. And that's the kind of guys I think that you've really got to kind of go ahead and find. You can find great high school football players, but you have to find the football players that you feel like can be great college football players. There is a difference there. And I think that's where they are winning right now in their evaluation.
So let's go like 2017, for example. We know Nebraska's recruiting class in 2017, the high-end guys just blew up. We don't know where they're at. They didn't play here. It just, you know, it is what it is. If you have a school like Nebraska and Ohio State that has, let's say, Let's say you have 6, 7, 4 stars and they're misses. What effect does it have on a school like Ohio State compared to an effect it has on a school like Nebraska?
It's a speed bump. You know, obviously it's a hiccup. You don't want all those 6, 7 guys being at 2 or 3 different positions. If you can spread it across all the positions on the football field where you've got one unique guy per position, you're better off and depleting your talent all the way down at another position. Like if you took something down to where you had, out of those 6, 7 guys, 3 of those guys were outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe you've got a problem there. Or that 3 or 4 of those guys were all your offensive linemen. That there is a bigger thing to go ahead and have to go ahead and work around. Ohio State, though, has a more of a unique ability to go ahead and recover from that because of the talent that's already on the roster, because the talent that they have coming in the coming classes. I want to go ahead and just go ahead and mention, too, they've been pretty successful when it comes to luring in top transfer talent, like
yes.
Fields, for example, at quarterback. I mean, obviously they lose Burrow, and Burrow was kind of buried on the depth chart behind a couple other guys that we all know about. But, I mean, you know, when you can go ahead and Burrow decides he goes down to Baton Rouge, but you can lure Fields up to Columbus, that's successful. That's a pretty decent and even trade. I mean, despite a national championship and a Heisman being in Burrow's favor, you've at least got that possibility this year with Fields in Columbus. So I think that they've got that ability to reach in and get transfers and pull that higher talent there, because I think that they're just in a better position overall with the talent on their depth chart. And it seems to be they're on a little bit better trajectory than what Nebraska is currently, but Nebraska is trying to improve that. Ohio State's just staying consistent.
So something happened last week that in the recruiting world, and he's a guy that, you know, Nebraska had some interest in, the Milwaukee offensive lineman Marcus Embo, committed to Arizona State. This was his tweet a couple of days ago, actually. I would like to thank all the Arizona State coaching staff, commits, and fans for taking time to recruit me and show me love. But yesterday, Arizona State dropped my scholarship, so I will be decommitting and reopening my recruitment. Now, I've seen another member of their 21 class say that he got dropped as well. You have any idea what's going on there?
Well, I've heard two stories, one of which I won't repeat, but I think that you can kind of glean from what I'm trying to say there is that both those guys are from Wisconsin, I believe. And maybe there's something there in the personal world. But what I have read and what I have heard is that Arizona State's trying to put themselves in a position to be a little bit more active with the one-time transfer guys, and that they went back and they looked at their board and their commitment list, and they're trying to free up some spots. So I don't know how the one-time transfer is going to work with the maximum number of allowable kids in the class or how many kids can be actual transfers. You know, I thought it was limited to 2, maybe it was 3. So I don't know how those numbers are going to be kind of impacted by this rule change this year, but from what I have been told and what I have heard, it sounds like Arizona State's trying to become a little bit bigger of a player there. And the 2 impacted players happen to both be from the state of Wisconsin. And it sounds like, at least on the surface, they're trying to angle this as to be a little bit more active when the one-time transfers come around.
You know what? There's part of what you say I'm all in on, because how they have their football operation set up in Tempe is they're running it like an NFL franchise where they have kind of a GM, a president, and then the head coach, and they're big into personnel and sending them to the NFL. So that would make perfect sense. But let's talk about Marcus for a moment, because you're interacting with him. He's favoriting stuff that Nate Clouts has. Somebody tweeted at me, and the next thing I know, I got Marcus Embo is favoriting it. Does Nebraska go back there?
I think it's a possibility. I mean, obviously, he was very high on their board. You know, Nebraska had a couple with Ezra and the transfer from Colorado State. You know, you had some guys that didn't really fit into the 2021 class, but they were additions to your team that probably are likely going to be put on scholarship at some point, you know, closely down the road. So you don't have to go too far down that road. But if Nebraska starts changing here from needing or having to fill needs to grabbing guys that, you know, add the most value to their class, Embo could enter back into the discussion a little bit.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's we're now less than 2 months away from the December signing period, which will be one of the more fascinating signing periods we've ever had because a majority of the kids in those classes have never set foot on the campus that they're committing to.
Yep. And that's something that I'm making sure that I'm asking all the guys and their stories because I think it's such an unusual, like Tyler Morrow, for example. Tyler Morrow has done virtual visits to all the schools except for Iowa State and Nebraska because he's been on campus, you know, numerous times to those two schools in Ames and Lincoln. But I mentioned the fact that he may have to pull the trigger on a commitment to a school that he's never been to before. And he said, yeah, it's definitely strange. So I think that this is a very unique time period for what these kids are having to go through. But I think the schools are doing the best they can to accommodate that and bridge the gap through their virtual visit process.
Well, next year in college athletics, football, men's basketball, other sports, man, it's going to be wild with a extra year of eligibility, kids that committed that have never been on your campus, name, image, yep. likeness, one-time free transfer. Wow, we thought what we've gone through in college athletics in 2020 is something. Wait till 2021.
You and I are going to need 2 segments next fall, I think.
I'm okay with that, especially since today you are able to assign a star to Underdog in the Rivals system, which has never happened before. You are golden in my book from here on out.
I'm going to have to go create a Rivals profile for him now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how those go. Brian, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll talk again next Friday.
Sounds great. Talk to you soon.
That's Brian Munson, part of the great group over at Husker Online, the Rivals folks. We will talk to Brian Christofferson coming up next. I mean, the one character we did not give it a ranking to, because didn't we go Polly was a 5-star, right, out of Underdog? Simon Barr Sinister. He would be like a negative star, I would imagine. All right, BC is next. We're about an hour away for your next opportunity to win a TV. By the way, thank you to Brian, one of our winners. Sent us pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Great 1620 The Zone listener.
Yeah,
good that he got that TV.
Yeah, hung it up in his little gym. That was nice.
That was. That was a good-looking gym. Yeah. Good-looking TVs we're giving away.
Agreed. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We got some class here.
As long as I can get Fox tomorrow, that's all people care.